KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly sunny sky and 63 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny, warm, and windy today. A high of 88 with winds southwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour, creating an elevated fire danger today for field fires and other such fires started by cigarettes. If you're out and about today, do not burn anything here in Cass County. There's a burn ban in effect for Cass and a couple of other counties, and they want you to be very careful because the low humidity can start fires very quickly if there is a spark somewhere along the way. Well, good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The U.S. Drought Monitor out Thursday indicated around 47% of the state is in a moderate drought, and more than two-thirds of the state is still abnormally dry. Iowa DNR hydrologist Tim Hall said there's also a surplus of moisture in parts of the state.
Kind of a mixed bag in the state. Northeast Iowa has a surplus of water, and west central and southwest Iowa has a deficit of water. On average, it's not too bad, but you really can't look at averages this year.
He says central Iowa is doing okay for water, but things change as you move west.
And Audubon, Carroll, Guthrie, Greene, and Shelby counties, driest April to September on record for that part of the state. So those folks are, in some of those places, they are more than 15 inches behind where they should be on rainfall for that time period.
The end of September brought the end of the growing season and concern about crops having enough water. Hall says the focus now shifts to other water needs.
We're looking ahead toward the next growing season, certainly, and we're also looking ahead to the point where the ground freezes up. We have less ability to move water into the soil. And any water that gets into the soil and eventually into the groundwater typically will end up being not just a source of water for plant growth, but also a lot of communities and citizens in the state pump groundwater out and use that for their drinking water supply.
Also, rainfall usually slows down this time of year, but any rainfall in dry areas can help.
We come out of a dry summer. If we go into a dry fall and the ground freezes up and sort of cuts off the ability of moisture to get down into the soil, folks in those parts of the state that have been really suffering this summer with dryness are going to find themselves in the same dryness hole next spring, and it's going to be harder to get out of.
The counties now in extreme drought include Palo Alto, Clay, Dickinson, Osceola, O'Brien, Lyon, Sioux, Plymouth, and Cherokee. A report from Iowa's largest auto insurer shows the state is still one of the most dangerous for drivers at risk of hitting wildlife as well as pets and livestock. Kelly Pargett, a spokeswoman for the State Farm Insurance, says Iowa drivers have a 1 in 58 chance of colliding with an animal while on the road. She says the company had 40,000 Iowa customer reports incidents involving animals in the past fiscal year.
Iowa is ranked 7th in the nation for animal collisions, most of which are still deer, but there were other animals. Dogs, cats, and then, of course, farm animals for this part of the country were a huge category this year.
It's mating season for deer, plus it's harvest season across Iowa, and hundreds of tractors and combines are driving deer by the thousands out of the fields and onto the highways. While 67% of the reported animal collisions involved deer, other animals drivers had unfortunate encounters with included cows, squirrels, raccoons, turtles, rabbits, rats, and opossums.
Iowa being the Hawkeye State, a lot of birds. Birds are the big category this year. They swoop down and they're doing enough damage to have the driver file a claim. So 15,000 of those, the bird category, are turkeys.
The likelihood of an animal collision more than doubles during October, November, and December. 2020 being the year of the coronavirus, so many people are staying at home at the start of the pandemic. The number of the drivers on the roads dropped, and so did the number of accidents.
One thing we did see this year is the difference in March of this year compared to March of last year. And this year we saw a 20% decrease, which is over 70,000 claims, less claims reported.
Iowa's seventh place ranking this year is down from fifth last year. Those above Iowa for the riskiest states include for animal collisions are number one, West Virginia, followed by Montana, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. The Iowa State Patrol Thursday updated an accident report we told you about on Wednesday. They said two women were transported to separate hospitals following that motorcycle accident late Wednesday morning around 11:15. According to the patrol, 67-year-old Ellen Lloyd of La Vista, Nebraska, was operating a 2017 Harley-Davidson motorcycle westbound on Interstate 80 near mile marker 63. She was in stop-and-go traffic associated with the construction zone when she had to brake hard when she slammed on her brakes. Her passenger, 47-year-old Tiffany Reese of Raymond, Nebraska, began to fall off the motorcycle. While Lloyd and Reese fell onto the paved travel portion of the road, the motorcycle continued off the road and went into the ditch. Police say Ellen Lloyd was transported by ambulance to the Cass County Hospital. Tiffany Reese was flown by helicopter to the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. A report on their conditions was not available. The Creston Police Department this morning reports two recent incidents. A man residing in the 600 block of West Adams Street reported that someone had taken an electric hedge trimmer from his truck. The loss was estimated at around $150. And a man residing in the 400 block of Wyoming Avenue in Creston reported to police that someone broke a window out of his Cutlass Sierra. The damage was estimated at $300. The Union County Sheriff's Office yesterday said a man from Monroe, Louisiana, had reported Thursday morning that sometime during the overnight hours, someone entered his vehicle while it was parked at 1804 Virginia Lane in Creston. Authorities say a Ruger 380 pistol, serial number 372-243-442, was taken from inside the vehicle. The weapon was valued at around $200. A Lake Mills man also reported to authorities Thursday morning that his vehicle, parked in the same location, was also entered and taken from inside was a tackle box with tackle, five DeWalt batteries, an angle grinder, one-half-inch impact driver, and blank checks. The combined value of those items was estimated to be around $800. The Glenwood Police Department yesterday said 27-year-old Rocky Runyon of Glenwood was arrested Thursday on charges that include felony eluding, driving while suspended, and he received six traffic citations. His bond totaled $5,300 plus $1,252 for the traffic citations. Additional details on that incident were not available. The Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Bryant Rasmussen reports Parks and Rec Department will close the road in Sunnyside Park between the Cass County Fairgrounds and the Kitty Corral bathrooms so that maintenance can take place on a golf course hole number 15. That closure begins tomorrow. And a Adair County man and his wife have started a nonprofit organization as a way to fold the end of the Freedom Rock Tour into the next chapter. In 1999, Ray Bubba Sorensen painted his first mural on a large 90-ton boulder east of Highway 25 and south of Interstate 80 in Adair County. Sorensen has repainted it every year since for the past 22 years. He's not commissioned for his work on the original Freedom Rock. Instead, he does it as a tribute to men and women in the military, both past and present. In 2008, Sorensen and his wife Maria opened a mural and photography business in Greenfield. They also created the Iowa and 50-state Freedom Rock Tour in 2013. Since then, the couple, along with their two young children, have been traveling the state and country for that matter, placing a Freedom Rock in all of Iowa's 99 counties and six other states. With the tour coming to an end, Ray and Maria decided the next step would be to create a not-for-profit organization, which will continue to exist. The mission of the original Freedom Rock and the Freedom Rock Tour by assisting in creating new murals, and memorials as well. The foundation will help communities whose own Freedom Rocks may have some wear and tear from rock chips or flakes over time or even vandalism. As the foundation grows, they say it looks to create new veteran-themed murals and memorials, assist schools and classes to work with the Sorensens in creating murals for their space, and fixing veterans' headstones and memorials. The Sorensens have some ambitious goals for the Freedom Rock Foundation, including to eventually have a physical location for people to visit and for the Sorensens to operate out of. The new studio and museum would feature artifacts from the Freedom Rock Tour, original artworks, and place to watch them work on new pieces and projects. Donations can be made online at the link in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com or mailed to the Freedom Rock Foundation in Greenfield, Post Office Box 97. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.